Yeah, so if somebody wants to come over and help me make sour cream, that'd be great.
At it.
Three, two, one.
And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
I'm an egotist.
Hey, Mickey.
Fort Max is the Fox News of this podcast.
Paladin.
Wood.
Ken.
He's like, nom, nom, nom.
JD Church.
What?
And Fort Max.
I hate you, and I'm going to f***ing kill you.
It's Morphin time.
All right, it's superhero time. This week we're minus Ken because his health is a completely failed colony.
There were rape gangs. They got sick and died.
They just gave up. We can't take it anymore.
It's too awful. One way to deal with the rape gangs.
Entropy.
They never did want to live forever.
So, what's up?
I got into a wreck.
Nobody cares.
Okay.
Actually, we do care. We're all relieved JD was not hurt, but we talked about it for like half an hour in the pre-show.
Yeah, we're over.
Now we're bored talking about it.
Which you probably heard some of in the cold start.
No,
but
they
if
didn't.
You didn't, then I'm sorry. Ask me on Twitter, I guess.
Yeah. You got a wreck just to get more followers.
It is true. I will do anything to get more followers.
But enough about the sour cream.
Yes. By the way, my sour cream hand is burnt. So if anyone would like to volunteer,
that's some hot sour cream.
Help me make some sour cream.
You know, it's funny how you can't have an erection without wreck.
This is true.
And you know, they made a movie about that too.
Yes.
Called Drive. Crash.
Crash.
Yeah.
Driver.
So anyway, what's news?
Well, did everyone hear the sound effects from the Kamen Rider Wizard press conference?
Come on a slash. Oh.
No. I guess that was a thing.
Yeah, I missed it too.
All right, just follow the video while it's still up.
Flame, okay. Please.
Flame, please? I'm excited.
Just listen to the damn thing.
It's important to ask nicely.
Spacey.
Wow.
Funky. So apparently a wizard had 90s Sega Arcade make his belt and weapons.
That could be the case, but there isn't any Sega
maybe
anywhere.
That's the sound that makes when you flip the switch on the belt. That's the startup noise.
I've never experienced my joy and excitement for something die so rapidly.
Well, that's just because you were in a wreck.
Must be it.
I think it's pretty fantastic, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we should have cleaner examples of the sounds when the Rider Generation 2 sound rips come out.
Which is probably another week or two now that the game's out.
Sadly, Rider Generation 2 does not have garish colors.
As evidenced by Meteor's Belt, I'm all for funky
actually,
Kamen
I don't,
sounds.
Has it been released yet? Because I know the ROMs were, well, the ISOs were up before it was even released. Well, it's available. Let's leave it at that.
And it's probably easier to rip the sounds off of a disc image than it is actual game.
Which we do not condone or support in any way.
I didn't say we did. I just want my sounds.
Even though we will probably benefit from it.
Yeah, I want my sounds. I got editing to do.
For serious.
Yeah, you know, Forza's ending soon, so I need new sound files for stuff.
Well, that's something. Was that a rap in there?
It could be. Stranger things have happened.
Come on a slash. Shake hands.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say. Wow.
Well, it is about time for Japan to finally start hitting the 90s music-wise.
I guess. Okay, so now that we got the good stuff out of the way.
Oh, like, also, Tomashii Nations is starting, it's announcing that they'll have a pull-up soon for Sentai stuff. Let me go ahead and predict the results. Red, green, white, and a whole shitload of web exclusives.
Yeah.
I think green will be out in front.
So is that like the illusion of choice? Like, it's more important to, like, make people feel like they have a choice than to actually give them one.
Tomashii Nation seems to actually be observing the results of the polls instead of just releasing what they already have ready.
Okay.
I know I've told the story before about in the old days when Bandai would run polls for Gundam kits. And it didn't really matter how the poll turned out. They would just release the kit they had ready to go anyway.
The
because
poll
obviously
was more
that's what everybody should have voted for. It's not their fault that they didn't.
Well, Tomashii Nations doesn't have Bandai anywhere in their name, so...
Exactly.
So they might not be evil?
Well, we didn't say that.
Well, it doesn't mean that they have, that they are required to hate every other Bandai, then.
Boy, this sound quality is terrible.
No, that's just how we normally sound.
I blame Fort Max.
I do.
I blame Ken.
I do blame Ken, because he's not here. He's like, oh, I'm sick. And, well, you know what? I was sick, and I came home. You know what happened? I got in a wreck. And I'm still here. Weakling.
Failed colony.
Rape gangs.
Okay, so what else is in the news?
Well, there's now an official YouTube channel for the unofficial Sentai Akiba Ranger that you can only watch in Asia.
That's
sure, whatever.
Really useful to our audience.
So it's an official YouTube...
Bullshit. We don't have an audience.
Well, if we don't have an audience here, we definitely don't have an audience in, you know, Asia.
Yeah.
We have an audience in Sweden.
We have one audience.
And Australia.
We have an audience.
And
we're listening to around the world.
We've probably got an audience or two in England also.
Yeah.
So I guess they get around.
Like your mom.
No one in America was
your mom is around. In every sense of the word.
How can a hole be around?
Mm.
It's like the opposite of a round. It's
like a snake.
A negative round.
Tail? Don't tread on me.
So, what's up?
I don't know. I'm happy you're not having context for that last part.
It's a state flag thing.
Yeah. Well, it used to be for the revolution, but.
What
yeah.
was it, South Carolina?
I think so. It sounds right, anyway.
It was South something.
It was something in the South. This is awful, really. I don't know what's... I'm sorry. I'll talk more about masturbation or something.
I know, man. You're dragging the show down with your...
I know. What the fuck is wrong? God. You know, it was really heartbreaking because I love Gigabeetle, but then, like, after he'd been listening to several episodes, he followed it up with, I don't know, something ruined the show. Was it JD? I'm like... Man. I don't know what it was. It must have been that fat guy.
Oh yeah, that narrows it down.
Well,
so,
it narrows it down to like 2.5 of us.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But I don't know. The sour cream guy just ruined it all. Damn.
We're allergic to
it. Much more tolerable for us to be here, so.
Well, you know, Gigabeetle doesn't like sour cream to start with, so it's natural he would think that ruined the show.
That could be. Yeah, that's a damn good point. I'm going to go with that. It's your fault, Gigabeetle.
Because, you know, he tried the sour cream on a taco, or was it nachos?
I think it
both.
Was nachos.
He tried both.
That's amazing. Okay. I mean, that's what's – it's like I want him to try sour cream or mayonnaise now. Sauerkraut, that's a good idea. I want to see what other disgusting things to him I can get him to try to eat.
Okay, now, was it him you suggested to having mayonnaise on french fries?
Yes.
That's disgusting.
That is awesome.
That's pretty common, actually.
Yeah, I know.
And it's still disgusting.
Yeah.
That's common everywhere but America.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why I thought I might be hitting too close to home for him, but he was like, no. I'm like, oh, sweet. I need to get him to try that now.
I think the French do that.
I want that. I want this to be a thing, though. I want this to be a thing where it's like I get Gigabeetle to try things that he thinks is disgusting, but I like, and then have him talk
this
about.
Could be like a podcast of its own.
That could be a show of its own. That's a good idea. That's a good idea, Mickey. I like it.
This cannot end well.
But yes, that American YouTube channel with Akiba Ranger. Apparently, the translator was working on some earlier scripts with. Some stuff that did end up getting changed.
For Max, I don't think you realize we didn't give a f*** about that. But
welcome to space, Australia.
He tries to come back to it like we gave a shit. This is important other stuff we're talking about. We can't even watch that channel. What does it matter what's on it? Bastards. Should have let us watch it.
And now Fort Max made me lose my train of thought.
That didn't take much.
I'm telling you.
That's a good show this week. We're doing good.
Ken, do you see what you've done by not being on the show?
We have to pick on each other now, okay? And Ken's not here.
Wait, that's different from normal how?
Well, normally we would be picking on Ken, and he would be accepting our abuse.
He's our whipping boy.
That's right, he's our whipping boy. But now we're like trying to do it to each other, and it's just not right.
Okay, well,
the whips don't bounce.
Since this is going bad places anyway, pal, then why don't you just go ahead and get into Samurai news, get that over with.
Woohoo!
All right, there's several new Samurai toys out in stores right now.
Oh, is there?
Yes, first off, the Retrofire Clawzord.
Really?
Clawzord?
Okay.
Didn't we see that at Toy Fair like 2 years ago?
I believe we did, but we probably glossed over it because, you know, Retrofire.
All right, I need my picture of it. Where's my picture of it?
Yeah, just a minute. So does this appear to be like a better Retrofire or a typical Retrofire?
I believe typical Retrofire.
Good, then I have no need to care about it.
Well, you probably wouldn't anyway.
We've only had one better Retrofire that's actually come out, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, if they would actually release the Retrofire Paleo Max Megazord, that would be like the second one.
Articulation be damned.
Let's see.
Do what, Paladin?
Articulation be damned because Paleo Max?
No, Paleo Max has good articulation. There's prototypes of it or test shots on eBay from time to time. And you can see that it's built a lot like the Jungle Pride Megazord.
Oh, this is the... These are the, like the posable stats.
No.
Or posable no. Quotes.
Posable is a strong word.
It's the action figure version. Action being used.
They're posable like the Dark Knight Rises line is posable.
So these, I was going to ask about these at one point because I've seen, you know, these in the store, like the O's Megazord or whatever from
O's Megazord?
The one from Zio. The
Zio Megazord?
O Ranger O.
Not O. Yeah, O Ranger O or whatever. O O. O O. O
Ranger O.
I don't know, whatever it was called. O. And so they're crap, is what you're saying, and I don't want to buy them.
Well, you should buy the Jungle Fury one and forget all the others.
Yeah, if you can find a Jungle Pride Megazord, that one's good.
But you probably still can. They don't exactly sell very fast.
I think the only ones I've seen were for...
you probably saw Zio and High Octane.
Yes.
And possibly Mystic Force.
But probably not.
No, and it did seem like there was...
There was a Time Force Megazord, a good one or bad one?
There was one other. What was it?
Samurai?
Probably.
No, I didn't see Samurai.
Oh, God, this conversation.
Isn't it? It's great.
Remember, Mickey, this is Ken's fault.
I know. Yeah.
It's becoming increasingly hard to blame the person who isn't here for what we're talking about.
No. This You're not whole following thing that logic?
This whole thing is Ken's fault.
Oh, well.
If Ken was here, we would have somebody to focus on, which would keep us from doing this. Also, if JD hadn't been in a wreck.
Yeah. That's kind of throwing my whole f***ing day off. Anyway. Well, there you go.
All right, what other Samurai news?
Well, there's a Toys R Us exclusive roleplay item called the Shogun Spear, which is actually just the Mega Blade and Bulzooka in the same box.
For how much more money than the two separately?
About $30 more, I believe.
Good lord.
So
it's $80?
Okay, so maybe it's only $20 more originally.
So it's $70?
Something like that.
What the hell?
I think Toys R Us is...
Yeah.
God damn it, Toys R Us. What the f*** is your problem?
They've got the two-pack...
Can't you just go out of business with class?
not until after they get the Prime stuff in.
Right,
well,
yeah.
Well, the and Asian exclusives, yeah.
Yeah, we need
that. $26.99 deluxes.
No, $17.99.
Seven. Oh, yeah.
No, no.
Actually, around here, they're actually cheaper than Walmart has them for.
Yeah, right now they are.
Well, I'm assuming Walmart has any.
Right.
One of the ones by me has just had a ratchet, a dead end, and an RC for like a week or two.
God,
no, not even any bees.
The worst part is I kind of envy Ken right now, not being here.
God.
So let's keep stretching this podcast out as long as possible.
Hi, Ken. We're thinking about you.
Thinking about beating you to a bloody pulp.
That's not very nice, JD.
Anyway, because you only have one hand.
Yeah,
a bloody camp pulp.
I'd have to use my off pimp hand. Anyway,
okay,
other samurai.
The other Samurai Toys R Us exclusive is the Gigazord set, which is all three Megazords and all four auxiliary Zords in the same box.
For $150.
Oh my god, really?
130, actually.
Oh, wow.
Did you say 130?
Yes.
Cripes.
That's actually decent, isn't it?
No?
Because it's what, 40? It's 20?
Well, okay, I guess...
25 a pop.
I guess going by Toys R Us prices, yeah, that's probably okay.
It's because it's 25, 50, 75.
And they already had a set with the... The Clawzord and Samurai Megazord.
For so that adds the Bullzord, and then how many of the auxiliary?
Four.
All four.
All four.
So which... everything except the Light Zord.
Everything okay. Except for the Light Zord, the...
Scorpion creature.
Scorpion.
The Tiny Clawzord and the Shark Zord.
Well, it's four accessory Zord. What's four times $15?
Well,
60.
Aren't the auxiliary Zords 20 each at Toys R Us?
I think they are 20, yeah.
But we're going by real world pricing, not Toys R Us pricing.
If you want to go by real world pricing, they're like 13 each at Kmart.
Well, but who has...
Nick. Wait.
So if you go by
Walmart... I keep forgetting Kmart still exists.
Yeah, really. So if you go by Walmart prices, then it's 60 plus 60, which is 120. And how much is it?
130.
That's not that bad.
That's not bad.
Especially because you can't really find the basic Shinkeno anymore on shelves.
Sure you can.
Really? Oh, yeah. I have it all
in my area.
I've only seen like two Bullzords, period, but there's still a bunch of Samurai Megazords.
Mickey, I saw Samurai Megazords when I was there.
Maybe I'll stop looking then.
Yeah, you're just not looking.
Front.
God, that's... Damn it.
It's nowhere near as awesome as the Jungle Fury box set, but it's nice to see they're trying these sets again.
I'm not going to buy that.
The Jungle Fury box set was extraordinary. Nothing will be that again. I should have bought one of those.
You should have, but you're an asshole, so you didn't.
Actually, you have that, don't you, Mickey? Where was yours?
I do.
I didn't see it.
It's on the Jungle Fury shelf next to Jan and Geki Chopper. Ken.
I totally did not see that.
Ken's sick, isn't he?
Yes.
What? Okay.
Yes, Ken is dressed as a kid's dead mother right now.
He's waiting at the bus station.
Yeah, Mickey, you need to make like a wig and a little dress for your Geki Chopper.
We discussed this, remember?
No.
Yeah, we did.
I must not have been there.
You were on the couch.
I talked about how to buy a dress for Geki Chopper.
That doesn't mean he was there. That just means that he was in person. He was probably
probably thinking of England.
He was thinking of something else. He was somewhere else when you did that.
Sour cream.
Yes.
Well, that's why you were thinking of England.
Because when I want to make some sour cream, I think about bad teeth and a failed empire.
You think of the Olympics.
Think of the Olympics. I saw a great image today talking about the science stuff from earlier because it was like the Olympics, you know, NBC delays viewing for 16 hours, NASA, you know, displays image from thousands of miles away, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles away.
So we get video from Mars that's more current than the Olympic coverage.
Yes, basically. Yeah.
Way to go, NBC.
Good job, NBC. Bastards.
Yep.
I mean, if you think about it, people on Mars could be watching the Olympics sooner than North America does just from the BBC broadcasts.
Yes.
Of course, the way I look about at that is, you know, people that watch the Olympics, them, who cares? They're watching goddamn Olympics. Let them watch it whenever they want to.
Hey, for most countries in the world, that's the only thing they have to look forward to other than starving to death.
Well, yes. Maybe they shouldn't be so poor.
Now, normally I will agree with you on the Olympic thing, except for when it's Olympic curling season.
Now, what? Oh yeah, Winter Olympics curling? Oh man, I'm enthralled.
Exactly.
And
that's
the hockey.
Most amazing. I mean, only leave it to the Scots to invent two of the best games to play while drinking.
What's golf, the second one?
Golf. Drinking.
Golf and curling, man.
Well, no, I mean, curling is kind of two games in one, because, you know, you get drunk, you hurl a stone down a field, and then the other guy is running away from it.
Right.
So yeah. One game is throwing the stone at the guy, the other is, you know, trying not to get hit.
Yeah.
While drunk. It's perfect. I mean,
that's what I'm saying, man. Leave it to the Scots, man. They can invent some of the best f***ing games to play while intoxicated.
Well,
and you can't even drink when you're in the Olympics. That's the only thing. It's like, these poor bastards are trying to play sober. You know how much they have to probably practice to play that sober?
Well, and didn't
have you ever tried to bowl sober?
Didn't they invent the caber toss, too?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yep.
So, you know, here's what you have their contributions to sports. Throw a 50-pound stone down an ice field while some guy runs in front of it with a broom like a dumbass. Pick up a 12-foot log and hurl it across a field.
Yeah.
And golf.
And golf. Use a stick to hit the ball really f***ing far.
Yeah.
So that you have plenty of time to drink while you're walking towards it.
You have plenty of time to drink while you're driving a little electric car.
See, back in the day, you didn't have that. I mean, the caddy didn't carry your clubs. You only had one club back in the day. The caddy carried the keg. So that's how it used to work. Then they just clubs.
And the keg, that kind of carries over into modern golf, which is why a golf cart seats four.
Right.
Because you have the space for you, your caddy, and your booze.
So true. Hmm. I'm sorry, what were we talking about? Samurai?
I have absolutely no f***ing idea.
So, time for Busters.
Oh, just one more thing. Did everybody see this one?
No.
What is it?
Knockoff Gokaiger toy?
Oh, Lord, yes.
I did see that this morning. My head exploded.
Yeah, I need one of those.
The bee infection is spreading.
With a O metals key.
Yeah. Yeah, a green hawk metal key.
And a bumblebee Gaia memory.
A Gaia memory, a Gokaiger gun, a key. Forze on there, bumblebee. I mean, it's so amazing.
Yeah.
And that head.
Yeah, and the bumblebee head thing.
Wait, is the tip of the gun little Gatling gun piece from Gosei Knight's gun?
Probably.
No, it doesn't look the same to me.
Okay.
Oh, okay, so yeah, this actually goes a little farther. You've got a green hawk metal key, a Gaia memory, a bumblebee header, a Gokai gun, and a bumblebee. So this thing's just like all over the place.
It's like an homage to the last 5 years of sci-fi. Like, we can put this in a time capsule to cover so much stuff at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lens flare, too, so it's a perfect homage.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the bootlegging hat trick.
Wow.
It's like somebody sat down and went, okay, how many different things can I rip off in one product?
From different things. I mean, you know, it is like not even connected, barely at all.
And and that happy face that they turned the Gokaiger symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Weird bumblebee face thing, yeah. it's just amazing. I mean, someone really thought. Mm-hmm. There's love put into that knockoff.
Go
check. There's someone out there in our fandom probably that thought really hard about how to put all the things that they love together.
So it shoots sour cream?
That's right. I'm proud. That's just awesome.
Okay, so time for week old Buster.
Yay!
Yay!
It's time for Special Buster!
JD, get on that for us.
Okay, so...
Since Ken's not here.
Yeah, I know. Go, bastard. Joko's birthday, and...
Is she legal yet?
No.
Well, in Japan,
well,
I think she is.
Depends on what country. So to start out...
in Japan?
Depends on which state you're in.
Denial?
Yeah, if she was in New York, she would be totally legal now.
I think Oklahoma, it's legal. I think you're legal at 17. I don't know. I was dating a girl that was 17 when I was 20, so...
Well, how old do the cows have to be legal in Oklahoma?
The cows?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really a problem as long as you don't get caught.
As long as they come up to the right place on the stump, I think you're okay.
By the stump, you mean your penis.
No, an actual stump. You have to stand on a stump to stump break a cow. Apparently, that's a real thing. My boss told me a story about one time when he saw a guy stump breaking a cow. But anyway.
I don't even want to know.
Oh, busters. So, when we start
yeah,
out with...
JD, why didn't you mention that we were trying to get through the news earlier? That was...
Why didn't I mention my boss saw a guy stump breaking a cow? I don't know. Sorry, I thought about it now when we were talking about stump breaking cows, I guess.
So anyway, yes,
from Arkansas, so...
I stump broke your mom.
God. She died. So did the stump.
It's true, yep. And on a stump, because you wouldn't be able to reach otherwise. I mean, that's the whole thing. There's a science behind stump breaking a cow. You got to be gentle, too, because they'll kick you.
Like an ostrich?
So it's Yoko. Yes, like an ostrich. So it's Yoko's birthday, and Masato really wants to go. So he calls Kirorin, and he says, hey, buddy, can I go? And there's a whole discussion about how it might not be safe or might not be good for him or whatever, of which he's like, no, it's fine. And Jay is like, no, it's really not good for you after he gets off the call. He's like, no, it's really not good for you. And he's like, yeah, but don't tell him that.
Okay, well, really... you skipped over the best part, too, where Masato gives him a kiss goodbye.
He does give him a kiss goodbye over the phone, which is hilarious.
And Commander Winky Coffee probably just doesn't want to waste the Entron.
I don't. There seems to be a genuine love, I mean, connection, friendship thing between these two characters.
You're just digging that hole deeper.
So are they.
Meanwhile, Jay is looking lustfully at every tree in the forest.
Yeah. But,
speaking of stump breaking.
But Jay's like,
he
no,
just
really.
Wants to drink their sap.
He's like, no, really, it is bad for you. And, you know, Jin's like,
hey, there's a hole in your back.
Yeah. Don't tell him that. Yeah, and you see part of him, like, phasing out. So this is not looking good for Masato. This could be bad later.
It's okay. It looks a whole lot worse in a little while.
Yeah, it gets a lot worse. So, yeah. So anyway, so we go to Yoko's birthday. And the Buddy Roids, well, they're going to
They kind of suck.
They're going to try to sing happy birthday, and it's kind of awful.
One, two, three, four! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, dear Yoko! Happy birthday to Buster!
It's worse than the vocal stylings of Jason David Frank.
So bad. She even lets him do it again if that wasn't bad enough. But thankfully, Jin interrupts. And...
She's secretly recording them to post it to YouTube to embarrass them.
Right.
Yeah.
I miss Kogami.
So,
yeah, he should have been there.
But no, but Jin,
at
of course,
the singing would have been entertaining.
And of course, once again, we see the crazy ass Japanese cake with whole pieces of fruit on top.
Yeah, who the f*** actually makes cake like that?
Japan.
You know, I got to thinking. I got to thinking that what I want to see done now in that style is a cake with like a whole watermelon on top of it.
A pineapple.
Or a cantaloupe, maybe.
Yes.
Oh. Just put the cake down, a whole watermelon. Be like Gallagher but with cake.
Except yeah. It'd be funny.
It'd be ironic. And it would be funny. Two people got that joke.
None of them are here.
So.
Remember when we talked about Pinky and the Brain in the early episodes? They kept making references to Gallagher.
What, not realizing that none of the kids watching it would have any idea who that was?
Pretty much.
Awesome. I always like the stuff that you can go back later and watch and go, oh, that's funny now.
Neat. Of course, then on the other hand, you have Murphy Brown, where none of the jokes make sense anymore.
Yeah, that's the trade-off, right? You either have stuff that's now it's funny, or you have stuff that now it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's so topical that it just makes no sense.
I wonder if you went back and watched, like, The Daily Show from 10 years ago, if it'd still be funny.
No. It wasn't even that funny 10 years ago, I don't think. Are you talking about the Craig?
No, not that one. The Jon Stewart.
Oh, still Jon Stewart? Oh, wait, no, anything Jon Stewart.
The Gilbert one was, like, back in the 90s.
Was it? God, I hate that. Bastard for being that old. Bastard thing for being that long ago.
Stupid being old.
What's happening?
Leave your birthday.
Anyway, yeah. So Jin comes in with flowers and stuff, and that's all awesome. And
Jay comes in with flowers.
Jay does come in with the flowers.
Well, he needs a snack for later.
Took a minute for Jin to get away from him.
Oh, wait, after this is when they go to the barbecue grill, and Masato starts talking about how awesome Yoko's mom was. Parentheses, in bed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your mom was so hot. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm thinking he gave Yoko's mother several whatever the hell the Japanese equivalent of a nickel is.
Yeah, well because they do go up to the barbecue, and yeah, they're talking about the...
And meanwhile, Jin is trying to barbecue a can of Enetron.
Jay, yeah.
Whatever.
But
see, that's why I call Jin Masato, because it helps to avoid those mix-ups.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. So, yeah, Masato starts talking about Yoko's mom fondly.
Her hot mom.
Her totally smoking hot mom, who looked great in a jumpsuit instead of a dress. And how she would test out all of his Megazords, in parentheses.
She would totally get into every cockpit he had.
Yes.
And vice versa.
All places. All crevices of...
I like to test out new loadouts on her.
She handled a lot of his joysticks.
Yes.
He filled her full of semen.
All the pretext out. Anyway, so yeah, and
Mickey,
so
I don't understand. What's that euphemism for?
They had a lot of sex.
But, so what you're saying is that she test drove the Megazords he built?
Exactly.
So yeah, let's get it on.
So, spoiler alert: is Masato Yoko's dad?
Yes, I think
absolutely.
Which is kind of unsettling, considering how clearly he wanted to, you know, get in her pants as a substitute for her mom.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't quite get that, but I mean, I could see where you would. But I think that was more out of, you know, like, this is my daughter. I mean, because if you think about it, there was that earlier episode where, like, the teams got kind of split up, and he had Jay go with her to kind of, yeah, I mean, it seemed almost like just to get, you know, to see how she is and what she's like without him having to be there. Because he does seem to be a little bit intimidated, or like he's going to be protective of her or whatever, which you get a lot of in the rest of this episode. But
Ellen, of course, sign
she did have it on Yoko's mom was single.
Well, he said that she just, but he never said that he didn't make that happen. Right.
Hot, horny singles in your area want to test your Megazord.
My implication, my guess would be that they had like been a couple and then she got pregnant or whatever and then they split up or whatever. But, you know, but I don't know. That's my thought. But who knows? Anyway.
Meanwhile, at the playground.
Yeah, meanwhile at the playground. Well, before that, yeah.
Goombas are dancing again.
We're back in hyperspace and enters talking to
Majesty.
Majesty.
Messiah. Yeah,
Messiah. And I love, like, Messiah actually had sort of a character for a minute here, which was kind of fun because he's like, so enter. You like that I made another avatar? That's awesome, huh? Why don't you get to work? You don't have to fucking think, you do. It's awesome.
So shut up and get back in the kitchen.
Yeah, basically. And then there's like, oh no, it's great. I think it's cool that you're thinking on your own behalf. He's like, damn right I'm thinking on my own behalf. I will. Because I'm the man. Meanwhile, you know, Inner's like, okay, whatever. Sure, you know. I'm totally going to kill you and take over hyperspace. But anyway, so yeah. So after he comes out of hyperspace, there's Escape, who's there to taunt him even more and basically say, get to work. So they've sort of split up now. She makes the Metaroids, and he's making the Megazords. So
it totally took two of them to manage that before.
Yeah.
Well, she has an iPad.
Right. And she has
a she has to pull out as often as possible to show people.
Yeah.
Well, and she is more combat oriented, where he is more strategy. So it kind of would make. It makes sense in the context that she's going to be doing all the ground level fighting, whereas he's going to be doing the planning.
Well, because Ender is just as capable of fighting the Go Busters as she is.
Yeah, but she's got guns.
Well, you know,
he's got rape tentacles.
The real distinction here is that Escape has boobs.
Well, they're not
and really. No brains.
She has four kinds of guns.
And you know, and she's got Glock and Magok to eat or whatever. She's got a theater Magok.
Yeah, sure she does. Yeah, whatever.
So anyway.
He has guns. And she steals kids' backpacks.
Yeah. So she dumps out this dude's backpack and finds a magnet in there because all Japanese children carry around a magnet. How do those work?
Well, it helps to organize your floppy disks.
Right.
they're good for swallowing.
Well, no, that's the magnet for after you swallow a smaller magnet. You know, you just stick that one on your stomach and work the thing back up out of your mouth.
It's like Operation. Don't touch the sides.
That's just like your mom. Don't touch the sides.
Don't touch anything.
Your mom doesn't have sides. She's round.
So I'm saying, put your dick in there, and it's like no science. It's like, oh wow, it's cool. It's air. Anyway, no pretext there either. So anyway, they make a magnet,
and like all Sentai magnet monsters, he's somehow able to create magnetic monopoles.
Right, because
on things that aren't metallic
at all.
Because magnets.
How do they work? Must be magic. Anyway,
maybe a wizard did it.
That's why there's no Forze to go along with this week. The magnet monster repelled him.
Right. He was scared.
Well, no, his magnet switches reacted and he flew away.
That's right. It flew the show away. Yeah. So
it ended up leaving the credits behind.
So the rest of this is... Yeah. So here we go, you know, magnet monster makes people stick together that don't want to be stuck together, makes a mother and child not stick together, and repel each other that want to
shit
be
shit was crazy.
Shit
although,
happened.
Although, I like that Hiruma went and tried to cut the magnet antennas off of people's heads. No, it's still there because that's how magnets work.
Right.
The magnet inhabits still a magnet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was great. Yeah, he cut them off, and they still stuck together. You know, they separated for a second and then went back.
And sadly, they could not use the best solution for on all the people, because that would probably involve them burning up in the atmosphere.
I have no idea, but okay.
That's what they did in Auba Ranger.
And if you superheat a magnet, it stopped working too, so they could just set all those people on fire.
And then
yeah, it's Japan. They got plenty to spare.
They also do not defeat the Megazord with the spear fishing technique either.
Mm.
Well, yeah.
So what ends up happening is you have Hiromu and Nick stuck together, and then you end up with Ryu.
I like
Hiromu's and...
comment during that fight too. Hey Nick, can you just tear your arms off and let me get free?
That was great. Can you just come apart or something?
Well, he did a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
Although he was taken apart, he didn't come apart.
Right. But yeah, that was like his solution. He's like, you're not really combat oriented, so if you could just fall apart or something so that I could fight, that would be great.
Yeah.
Jay and Ryu get stuck together as well, of which he even told me, he was like, could you act like this is more uncomfortable?
But it's not, apparently.
But apparently it was not, so... So then comes like the odd bit of this where, as if this rest of this wasn't odd anyway. So the four of them get taken back to base. What they decide is that since Yoko and Masato are not stuck together, that if they give them a, laser tag set, then they'll be able to not get hit by the magnetic stuff and defeat the Megazord or the Metaroid because you have to hit it in the head.
That armor looks like something that the American Power Rangers team would develop.
It's so bad.
I don't think they'd build anything that good.
I mean, that's literally like off-the-shelf sports equipment. Like, there is no attempt whatsoever to make it look like it's anything.
Well, I think they painted it silver.
Maybe. You know,
possibly.
I think it might come in silver. I mean, it was really like of all the cool stuff that's been on the series, like that was the thing that they're just like, F it. Just go buy it. just go to Academy and pick up something that's close and we'll use it. You know, it's going to be in like 10 minutes at best. So
the
anyway.
B-Max carries on a dump bin right by the door.
They're like, oh, cool. Look at this. It's 50% off.
Well, they are just prototypes.
God, yeah. Which that doesn't last very long, but it does lead to this whole exchange where they're going in to attack. I mean, even the episode was so bad because like Yoko goes to do the Buster Ready Go thing, and Masato wasn't even ready, and I couldn't tell if that was like the actor or like that was a character choice because it was so bad.
Well, and you left out part two where while they're wearing the armor, they can't transform.
Either. Oh, yes. That's
which doesn't help us.
Yeah, Masato can't transform anyway because he doesn't have Jay.
Yeah, he doesn't have Jay.
And he can't get his Megazord either.
Right.
Oh.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have Jay's marker system.
Thank you. We didn't make that clear. So anyway, they can't transform. Yoko can't, or she'll her armor thing will go flying off because
why don't you transform first to put the armor on after?
Well, because that wouldn't work either, because then they'd be too powerful, wouldn't they?
Oh,
make the straps weren't long enough to get the straps weren't long enough to get around the bigger suit actor.
See, Mickey, the script clearly stated that they can't wear the armor when they're transformed. So, I mean, if you would just read the script, you would understand.
Yeah, I like Fort Max's answer better, which is just that the armor doesn't fit over the suit actor's larger breasts.
That's pretty good. That's a good point.
The stuntman has breasts that are too large compared to...
No. The person in the suit is so much taller. That's the problem.
Right.
No. My answer is the correct one. Yours just lets
tits are always the right answer.
Tits are always the right answer.
I'm going to allow this.
So... They do their Buster Ready Go thing, which of course then they get shot up by Escape, who starts to shoot their armor off and gets most of Masato's armor off, but only
so
gets,
they have to duck back undercover until their health regenerates.
Correct. That's the way you
and probably you shoot modern, off screen.
If you played modern video games, you know that's the case. So there's a whole exchange about who's protecting who at this point. And apparently Yoko watched old Jetman episodes because she punched Masato right in the gut to make sure that she was going to be the one to go out.
Of course, since he's an avatar, it has basically no effect.
Oh, except that it does. And there is a whole
except
exchange.
For how it doesn't. Like,
well, he stops for a minute, but there is a whole exchange about how he could die if he gets blown up enough times. And like Jay totally spills the beans because Masato's
like, it's Jay.
I know. It's so awesome because Masato's like, no, I'll be fine. It'll be okay. If I get shot up, I'll just regenerate. And Jay's like, actually, he could really get hurt. Shut up, Jay. That's great. And he's like, nah, just a few explosions won't kill me. You could die? Oh, maybe. And she does see him phase out a little bit again as well. So there's something not completely right.
Invincible.
Yeah, there's something a little bit wrong with his avatar, but I don't know.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah. So anyway, she decides that she's going to go out because she can take care of herself and him as well. And, yeah.
Big Mama Yoko.
Oh, yeah. She's got it.
You know, she's 17 now, so she can do these things.
However, they still haven't updated the opening.
No. Yeah, it still said 16. I saw that. I don't know if they'll notice that that's there and change it or not. But anyway, so she goes running out and, you know, like, gets shut up and her armor comes off, so she transforms and I don't know, there's a whole action sequence thing. Basically Jin throws the armor in front of the I know what happens. The other guys show up. That's what happens. The rest of the stuck together group show up and decide that they're gonna help out and throw themselves at Escape who then is like, whatever, I'm going to let you go ahead and finish this episode, and bitches out. Because the script clearly stated that she needed to leave at that point.
She was totally disgusted by them falling on her.
Yeah. Even though they were laying on
me.
Let me set the picture for you. She's standing there with guns. All four of them are laid out right in front of her, where she could cap all of them in the head. And what does she do? Bitches out.
Well, they fell on her, though. That ruined her whole day.
The script said that she had to go. Anyway, so she leaves. And finally, yeah, they get in the shot and turn off the magnetism on the Metroid. And then they decide to completely overkill, obliterate this poor Metroid who has the bald head effect. What's
they're
great about
pissed right now.
Yeah, they were a little pissed, but the thing I'll say is like when the magnetism came off, his hair fell off, and so it turns out the joke the whole time was that he's like the little magnet guy with the hair that you like give him the different
Wooly
hair.
Something. Wooly, yeah. Wooly.
Wooly Wooly. Yeah, that was the joke the whole time. It's like finally you get to the end and you go, oh, he's bald. So yeah, they full on 3 Special Buster, 2 Boost Up for Buster. Close range, destroy the Metroid. And then, I can't remember. I didn't watch the end. But I guess it's Go Buster O and Hercules. And they.
No, it wasn't Hercules.
It was just
Beat.
Just Beat. And they reverse the polarity of the neutron flow and kill
That's
it.
That's actually almost exactly right.
They wrap the cables around and
reverse. And the mega electromagnet.
Reverse
and the enemy it. Megazord goes from suck to blow.
Yes. Reverse from suck to blow. Anyway, yeah. And then they kill it. And there you go. And Jin goes walking off and dematerializes back into hyperspace. Yeah. The end.
And then you get the character song ending.
Yes, which I already had because I have that.
Yes.
The mini album.
Yes. And that's my least favorite song. On the whole damn thing.
But maybe this means that, you know, in another couple episodes, we'll get the Beatbuster song.
God, I hope so. I love
we
the
won't. That it, it. That's not the. That's not one of the ones
Shut
sung
up,
by
Fort
the
Max.
Characters.
Shut up, Fort Max. Well, we probably will get an Enter one then.
God, the Enter one, I can't decide. It keeps waffling between awesome and too creepy to, like, listen to.
So, Enter?
Yeah, I mean, basically, because I listened to it once, and it's like, I like it. And then I listen to it again, and it's like, this is f***ing creepy, and I can't handle it. So I don't know. It just goes back and forth. And it's scary. Mm. Need a hug. There you go.
I like how everybody's volunteering at once to come give you a hug.
I know. Everybody's like, it sucks to be you, man.
It's awfully hot for hugging.
Also, he's in Oklahoma.
I know. That's the big problem.
Which is on fire.
It is on fire. Whole f-ing state. It was crazy. And I guess they even – there were some reports that it had even seeded the clouds and, like, there was rain at one point because there was so much smoke. But
I was in Florida when all of Florida was on fire. It sucked.
So normal Florida.
It was raining ash, and they were evacuating whole counties at a time.
God.
They're like cinders floating out in the air everywhere.
So ash like snow.
So it was like Japan. I swear, like I got a buddy of mine living in Japan, and it's like every other picture from him is like, hey, look at all this ash. Like, why would anyone live there?
All the ash in Japan is just from everyone smoking.
That's true. That's a true story.
And, you know, all the nuclear meltdowns and stuff.
And the volcanoes. Can't forget the volcanoes.
Thanks for explaining the joke for it, Max.
Oh, it's probably just Godzilla again.
You need a superhero time drinking game. So every time that
it's called listen to the show.
Yeah, you need to drink if you listen to this. Like every time Fort Max explains a joke, take a drink.
Every time I Cylon, take a drink.
Yes. Two drinks.
No, that's for two drinks.
Every reference to sour cream.
Yeah.
Do a shot. Of sour cream.
Kind of shot.
Sour cream shot. Yeah.
Every reference to Pokemon or Spaceballs. Then send us an email while you're waiting for the liver transplant. And speaking of Mons, how has no one mentioned Digimon Season 1 DVDs yet? Because it's Digimon Season 1.
Because it probably won't come out.
Because it might just end up being a bootleg.
Let me know when they do 02 and put the missing from syndication episode back.
Which one's the missing one?
The Daemon Corps.
And Shout Factory Shout Factory's picked up Aquabat Super Show. Don't know, don't care.
It's on the hub, which would explain both instances there. So, yeah. Okay, then. Why don't we take a break and we'll do Jetman.
Jetto. You're listening to Superhero Time.
Welcome back to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee.
Predator sequence has been initiated.
Boost up for Buster! Come on!
I've been wavering on adding new mecha to my collection for a bit now. After the disappointing Go Buster, I wasn't feeling too optimistic about any future releases in the current series. But after a bit of consideration and some bargain hunting, I have picked up the two newest Buster machines. The magical Beat Buster and his egotistical sidekick Stag Buster have brought out two experimental Zords to fight back against the monsters from hyperspace. First up, despite Jay's protests, is BC-04, the Big Bad Beetle Zord. 04's default form is a crane, but can also convert to horned beetle mode as an alternative combat strategy. The transformation between modes is almost seamless, incorporating both vehicle and animal components without a ton of kibble or leftover parts. That wins it a few points in my book. BC-04 has one other extra feature, Megazord mode, transforming into Go Buster Beat, a much-needed addition to the Go Buster's arsenal. The robot mode is another impressive fusion of elements, topped off with the crane link serving as both arms of the Megazord. This also gives Beat a bit more articulation and arm movement than a normal Megazord would have, which is another much-needed boost to play value. Next is Buster Machine SJ-05, the Zord belonging to Stag Buster. 05 changes from Jet Mode to Stag Beetle Mode in order to harvest Enetron. The fusion of elements on this one isn't quite as well executed as BC-04. It really just swaps out the jet wings for bug legs. It's not a bad Zord by any means, just not quite as good compared to something like 04 or maybe even 03 from the earlier line. 04 and 05 can combine to form one super combo, Buster Hercules, which basically just has Go Buster Beat split Stag in half and uses his corpse as heavy weaponry. I suppose that in-universe the extra weapons would be helpful, but in toy form they only serve to cut down the Beat's already limited articulation amount. Definitely not a good direction for the DX series. Last and most certainly least is the combination of all five Buster machines. Great Go Buster-O. This combo is great in the same sense that your mother is a person rather than an unsightly lump of misshapen deposits. I've transformed the Zords exactly once to take a couple of photos, and I can't really see myself doing so again as long as they're in my collection. It baffles me that the individual GoBuster machines can feature such interesting mode changes, while the resulting combos just turned out so hideous. Seems like the design team just ran out of interest after the first stage and tried to throw parts together until they had none left over. I will mildly recommend the Beaten Stag machines, though, just for the individual forms and for completed sake if you're a big fan of the series. Otherwise, there's a lot of better places to spend your money right now. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time!
Who's the Beat Buster?
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time.
So this week we have episode 10 of Jetman. What's special about this episode of Jetman?
It is that episode of Jetman.
Which
now, when you say special.
So, which that episode of Jetman, Fort Max?
The Cup Ramen episode.
Oh, okay, so it's not Tomato King.
Right.
Actually, or
Blow Dryer.
Jetman's monsters are pretty incredible on the whole.
They're awesome.
Like the one that was a city block.
Apartment dimension?
Yes.
And of course, that chick with the penis hair.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you'll have to be more specific.
Maria.
You know, she was in that one episode of Voyager.
So everyone always talks about how Jetman is so great. And the general response, at least I felt and other people have said, is that it can't be that great. It's just being over-exaggerated. And then you sit down and watch, and yes, it really is that amazing.
It is so great. Like, I devoured it. Like, I'm through it. I finished it this weekend. And, I mean, in a full week, I sat through
everything. Have you seen the encyclopedia yet?
I guess I have. I mean, I haven't seen the extra stuff. I mean, I went through the episodes.
You need to see the dance video short and Rita falls on its ass.
Nice.
That sounds about right.
You know, it's funny. Like, and you can't help but like Guy. Like, no matter what, it's like you can't help but be gravitated to that character. Like, I wanted to like Rita because, you know, I like Owl. And I'm the fat, and he's a fat guy, and I'm a fat guy. And I'm like,
he's the only fat Sentai character.
Yeah. And I'm like, this should be the dude that I like. And no, throwaway character. Totally uninteresting.
So he's a 90s yellow.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
But Guy is just fucking cool.
Like, he's in this episode for all of, like, 30 seconds, and he almost seals the entire episode.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to later.
Right.
There's also an amusing little song interspersed through the episode. Fort Max, could you help us out with that a little bit?
No.
Damn.
It is. I don't actually remember the song very well.
Well, refresh yourself, and then when we get to the part, you can sing it for us.
It is not a belt jingle. Sorry.
Yeah, but you even stopped doing the belt jingles after a while.
You're no longer our performing monkey, and that makes us sad.
Fort Max, you were a lot
Justice
more fun.
Plant.
Fort Max, you were a lot more fun when you were younger.
Now you're all old and sad.
Yeah. Like Echo Warrior.
Who?
Old bad fanfic writer.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't narrow it down very much.
he was hilariously awful.
West Side.
He was hilariously awful when he was 12, and then he just progressively got better until he was abysmally mediocre.
still pretty creepy, though.
That's a completely separate argument. Well, yeah, his self-insertion character for his Gundam fanfics was a girl.
Hot.
So figure that one out.
So is that a Mary Stew or a Marty Sue?
Yes.
I think Marty Sue is actually a legitimate name in Alabama.
Okay, so Jetman Episode 10.
Go for it, Mickey.
The episode opens up with Aiko and other school girlfriends walking down the street when the creepiest nerd in the world calls out from behind his curtain, "Do you want to come up to my room and eat ramen?"
Unfortunate euphemism.
No, not
no.
And so,
well, like, not yet, anyway.
The girls are all freaking the f*** out because, like, oh, Jesus, pedophile. And Nako's like, no, it's fine. He's just older than me and he likes cup noodles. And she,
that is not fine, Aiko.
She doesn't look like she's really believing what she says.
Who?
Well, it's probably, well, he is a student at the school, and well, and considering that, well, he really does like cup noodles. So,
but I mean, you say that like he just likes them, you know, like some people like cereal or something. Like, this dude collects.
Well, you know, some people aren't like that with cereal.
Well, he has to do something to amuse himself. KiloCon won't be freed for another 5 years.
He refers to a cup of noodles like an aged wine.
Or, I think, more the lids.
But, no, but he had the one. He was, like, asking her to come up to eat the Olympic noodles.
From
like, the 80s.
From 83.
83? That's not an Olympic year, is it?
No.
Well, I think it was a I'm sure it was a training thing. But he did say they were Olympic, and they were from 83, so go figure that out.
So we cut up to his room and view his horrific noodle collection, where he saves the lids of cups he's previously eaten. But suddenly he hears a voice of
the god
noodle.
Is that kind of like the god particle?
Yes, except it's for ramen.
Except it's a different part of the god particle. The lower part.
And so this horrific anthropomorphic cup noodles shows up with one arm made of rape tentacles, the other one made of a fork, because, you know, people in Japan are all about forks and not chopsticks.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone in any of those episodes eating ramen, of which there is a lot, eating with a fork. It's always chopsticks.
Well, that's because a chopstick arm is impractical. I mean, come on, use your heads here.
Right.
Yeah, the reason he has a fork arm is because, well, one of his arms had to be the rape tentacles.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't
they couldn't have two chopstick arms with that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't leave out the rape tentacle. There's a lot of rape tentacles in this episode.
And sadly, Kengo's dad didn't live long enough to design the chopstick switch.
So was this just a feature of 90s Sentai that there were a lot of rape tentacles?
I think just 90s Japan.
I think it's a feature of Sentai.
Because there were a lot in this series. I was like, holy crap.
So the noodle god turns to the noodle geek and says, why don't you make the world's best tasting noodle cup? And he says, sure, I'll do it for Aiko. And so he gets out his home meth kit.
Well, no, this predates
and starts breaking bad some noodles. While the noodle god stands behind him and
pours boiling water on himself.
Yes, he's freaking out when he starts running out of hot water.
Well, now, running out of hot water can be kind of inconvenient.
So,
not when you intend to pour it on yourself.
Noodle geek fills him up the brim with his hot liquids. And then decides on the perfect name for his noodle cup. Aiko-chan. And this is where Fort Max sings a song for us. Where you sing. Right.
You find a song. Come on.
Where the words come out of your mouth.
Do it.
I don't know the words.
Just make up something.
Do it for mama.
Sing something about cup noodles and little Aiko.
Aiko-chan.
This guy is kind of creeping. Aiko-chan. I clearly haven't thought this through yet.
That's close enough. Let's keep going.
That was pretty close, actually.
This guy is kind of creeping. Aiko-chan, he's making some noodles for Aiko-chan.
Very good. Excellent.
Well, the important thing we've learned here is that if we pester him enough, we can still make Fort Max do whatever we want him to. And that's more valuable than any actual song.
That is what matters.
Thanks, Fort Max.
We hear that lovely song that Fort Max just invented for us, being broadcast on televisions across the world.
And the moral of the commercial is you can drink from Little Aiko if you pay her a coin first.
Basically, yeah.
And
I think she needs an adult.
Aiko's not happy about this.
Well, probably because the mascot on the cup noodles is cuter than the real Akko.
Well, no, this is Akko. She's probably upset that she's not getting any money from it.
Mm. That too.
However, Raita is horribly aroused at the thought of eating cup noodles. So, around the top, we cut to the sexy villain's lair with a big baked potato head guy and crazy heartbreak girl. And
power glove kid.
Yeah, 90s video game magazine advertisement boy.
Wait, who's Baked Potato Head?
The main guy.
Yeah.
But I assume it would be Raticate based on process of elimination.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's Raticate.
Well, wouldn't that be the blue face dude, not.
I see the big silver lump on top of his head, and I think Baked Potato. Possibly because I haven't eaten yet.
Wrapped in foil is what you're meaning.
Yes. So then who should crash their party but the ramen god, who, oh my god, he's secretly the ramen dimension.
Yeah.
Cup noodle dimension or whatever.
Yeah, secretly.
Yeah, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
He's not actually a benevolent noodle god at all. He is not the flying spaghetti monster.
He didn't come here to give us great noodles.
In fact, the great noodles he spread around with Little Aiko's face on it,
they're actually
living worms. What the f***?
He can herd. Well,
that's kind of close to real ramen, depending on where you buy it from.
He can herd them with a flute.
Yes, so he's going to make these little noodles come to life in people's stomachs and take control of them or something.
Well, it makes them impatient.
Yes, his magic tapeworms make people unable to wait more than a minute for anything because, you know, they're minute noodles.
What I love here is that there's the vaguest attempt by the writers to make a commentary on modern society. And I
well,
mean,
yeah, the person
vaguest.
Who wrote this episode does tend to do that.
I mean, it is a reaching attempt to be like, hey, we should be patient. But it's like so vague.
Yeah, this was not an Inoue episode.
God.
So,
of course, there were no misunderstandings.
With this revelation, we then cut to various scenes across Japan of people losing their shit for having to wait for anything, including a little girl throwing a grown man over a barricade at a merry-go-round.
This is awesome.
And some bitch at an office place hitting things with her notebook and causing sparks to fly out of them.
Yes! That's even better than that Time Force episode where the knight hits a car with a sword and it explodes. She hit a desk with a notebook and blew it up.
That's awesome.
And this is when we get to the best part of the whole episode. When we cut to the bank and some bitch is going crazy for having to wait in line. And guy happens to be driving by. And he's like, what's this noise? I better see to this. So he runs into the bank and the bitch throws him into a couch. And guy's like, oh, no,
he's
bitch.
Like, I actually felt that.
So he runs up and he punches her straight
like
in the uterus and kills her with one shot. And as she's dying, he cradles her corpse and thinks, what the fuck is wrong with this whore?
But it turns out she actually was just crazy. Like, she didn't eat the ramen. It was just...
that's the spoiler for the episode.
The guy's first response to this is to punch her in the vag and kill her.
Him punching in the gut is his first response to anything.
Well, no, sometimes
I mean,
he punches
if guy
in the face.
Isn't punching something, I just don't feel comfortable.
He's like a walking abortion.
But he doesn't travel in time to tread on Fort Max's old joke.
You know, but there, guy really, I mean, he shows that any problem can be solved by punching. And that's just, I mean, that's a great lesson to learn. It's an important lesson to learn.
So we come back from here to the base where Raita begins to lose his shit in his acid wash jeans.
Well, it might has something to do with the 4 dozen noodle cups surrounding him.
Is it he might have a sodium overdose.
Yeah, that's not the dimensions effect. He's just poisoned.
Right, it's confused.
He hurt himself in his confusion.
Oh, there's our Pokemon reference.
Yay, we did it.
And then he kept going and crashed into a wall.
He segued right off that cliff.
So back in the Noodle Geek's lair, he's watching TV, and he discovers, oh, well, all of these noodle cups are making people go fucking crazy. So maybe the noodle god...
Who would have guessed that a giant fucking talking cup of ramen would be evil?
And speak of the devil, here he appears. Seconds before Eiko comes through the door to get tentacle raped. And so she gets tentacle raped.
That on several occasions.
She gets tentacle raped out the set into an outdoor set where the noodle cup begins throwing random things out of his hole at her.
Take my shrimp boomerang.
That's a euphemism, isn't it?
I think so.
Yes.
Because it's small and curved. And smells like fish.
Yes.
Well, and then there's the cured fish log thing.
Although I do particularly love his noodle cup bombs. They spits at them because I guess noodle cups are filled with smaller noodle cups.
He's full of smaller noodle cups.
It's like the Russian thing.
So dolls. After he started beating up on the teenage girl, he uses his noodles to tie her to the playground equipment for later use.
After he tentacle rapes her cross changer off her wrist.
Yes. But then Malcolm Frink comes in because he wants her first.
And he has the big damn hero moment where he steals the hot water kettle from reviving the ramen monster.
And then he spills it all over himself.
Burning himself horribly, requiring years of plastic surgery to fix. But considering what it looked like before, probably wasn't necessary.
And we didn't even make that part up. That's the best thing.
Ah, it's boiling hot!
Oh, God, my eyes! I'm blind. So, with the Noodle Geek dead from boiling water, from out of the sky flies Raita, who's pissed off because I'm going to wait for everyone else to get there. So he's going to attack first. Apparently this ramen basically is just... It actually is meth.
Yeah.
It's just ramen filled with amphetamines. So he gets the party going, and then the rest of the team shows up, and then they just kick the noodle monster's ass all over the place, revealing the monster's terrifying black hole in the center of his pants, which I can only interpret it as monster anus. Which I would think with a noodle arm, you could wipe pretty well. I mean, you got pretty good reach with that. There's really no excuse for black, crusty stains of that nature.
It's Japan.
Yeah, they don't wipe. They just squat.
Yeah. So they blow up the silverfish in the monster, which makes them turn big.
And Raita can't wait, so he calls in the
jets,
whatever.
Yes, Jetman has jets. Go f***ing figure.
So as the crew enters their jets, the ramen monster quickly puts Eiko inside a giant ramen cup. Because, sure. Raita can't stand waiting anymore. But you know, he's not really waiting for anything, so he grabs a giant rock.
He's waiting to combine. Drops...
Yes, and he drops it on the noodle cup to free Eiko. Hooray.
It was a big rock.
But great, well, all right, let's go.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want the rock thing, watch the episode before this, where he's throwing rocks all over the place.
So Eiko freed, they quickly form the Floro Dairybot, and...
You know, I love this
series.
They
throw special attacks at the monster till it blows up.
I love this series, but it's so terrible. The mech is so bad. Like,
welcome
it's just...
to pre-Zoo Ranger Sentai series.
And that's what I'm saying. Like that, and that kind of goes back to my point before. Like, Zoo Ranger is awful, except for the mech, which is just amazing. It's like a whole different world from Jetman, but then the show itself.
I wonder what actually triggered that drastic a change in between series.
They got a sculptor.
They got what?
They got a sculptor instead of just somebody to stack boxes on boxes.
I mean, was it just as simple as like different people making the suits, or was there actually a directive to change to make stuff updated? Or
I think part of it was that the guy who actually designed the mechs was actually new to who designed the Zoo Ranger robots. I was new to Plex at the time, and he had previously worked on Transformers.
Better.
So he had previous experience with more complicated things.
But Jet Icarus is just plain boring.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Jet Icarus, if you look at there are thrusters and tubes painted onto the boxes. Right. You know, whereas those things are molded into Digugen. You know, it is a world of difference between the mech. It is an entire paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like going from Transformers in the 80s where every detail was a sticker, mm-hmm. which is almost literally the case with Jet Icarus.
And it's also the case with the toys, too. A lot of that stuff on the actual toy is just f***ing huge stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you go into, you know, G2, the new mold stuff there, and it's all, like, sculpted detail and everything. And actually a little paint here and there.
I use Paradigm Shift.
And then it just falls apart because gold plastic.
I use Paradigm Shift on this show. Can you believe that?
No. I don't think that actually happened.
I can't believe it. I pulled out a decent word for this show.
I don't remember that happening, so I'm going to say that it didn't.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. It'd probably be better for everyone if we don't acknowledge that. Mm. Anyway, so yeah, Jet Icarus killed Noodle Dimension.
So by this point, they're sick of owl shit and they just tie him up to the Megazord seat.
Yes.
I get the impression that Kaori actually tied him to the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else just kind of looked the other way.
Yeah.
Now they don't like him that much anyway.
Obviously.
Poor Raiden.
He's not a guy.
This is true.
Yeah, he grows up to be the farmer in Dragon Ball Z.
This is true.
There is kind of a resemblance, isn't there?
Well, he was a farmer to begin with, so after Jim was over, he went back to being a farmer.
Well, and then they even said
that. Andy marries his girlfriend from the previous episode.
Yeah, and he becomes an organic farmer and sells his stuff online.
And in the encyclopedia, it revealed that...
isn't organic farmer just code for marijuana dealer?
Yes. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's
illegal.
That
depends on your state.
I mean, it's illegal, but there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with murder, except for the fact it's illegal.
Sometimes it should be okay.
So, yeah, Cup Noodle Monster is destroyed, and Akko goes and visits, what's his face?
Noodle Geek.
She's like, remember that time you, like, burnt yourself to near death? That was hilarious.
And he was all like, oh!
let me die! No.
Actually, what he says is, it'll be so much better when I release the Echo 2.
God. And then she, like, slowly...
She puts her hands on her hips and says, Noodle Geek! And the laugh track cues, yeah. And the credits roll.
Well,
but
considering
in reality,
what she left that guy's grave...
But then she, like... puts a pillow
that
over his face.
Little Echo 2 apparently did happen.
Is that on the... I didn't... Oh, really? Because I went back and watched that. Is that on Guy's tomb?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? Oh, man. I have to go back and watch that part.
Yes, let's see. Kaori is the one that left flowers. Ryu left booze.
Of course.
At least she didn't leave milk.
Akko left some cup... left some ramen, and Raida left some vegetables.
Yeah, well, I knew the vegetables. I mean, pretty much everything else, I guess, I'd figured out, but I didn't notice the ramen. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Whew. Remember that time you nearly burnt yourself to death? That was great. Oh, let me die. No. I'm not going to let you die. You'll be fine. That happened to a dude.
He got
it
over
happened.
It.
I was there.
So, yeah.
That's a fun story. Anyway.
So that's Jetman episode 10.
Jetman is so great.
Yeah.
So great.
And then somewhere in the 40s, there's Tomato King.
Yeah, the Tomato King thing was screwed the hell up. Oh my god. Especially when he starts eating it. Yeah.
Fun stuff.
So messed up. So many things.
But I still there's hate things the Jetman costumes.
But they're huh?
I hate the Jetman costumes.
No, they're so great. That's like my favorite thing.
They're terrible. The little gold trim on little eagle things.
No, they're great, dude. They're like individual. They've got like just enough individual stylization while having a team thing. Like even the series has cohesion. Like the series, like where how their powers come about and everything, it like all makes sense. I mean, this is just it's just a damn good series.
The design for their costumes looks decidedly 70s.
But it's cool. I mean, of course it does.
Based on a show that was
exactly. 70s, it's based on that.
Gotcha Man,
yeah. G-Force, Eagle Riders, Battle of the Planets, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Right,
the show of a thousand names.
Yes,
that no one actually likes.
Zero quality.
Right. Theoretically.
Seriously, who was demanding that show so much that it kept getting brought over here with new names? Was it just that cheap to import?
It must have been. Yeah.
Well, all they had to do was, you know, one company passed the master tapes on to the next one who got the license.
Well, why don't you dub the show for a nickel?
So basically, Gatchaman is the Your Mom of old anime.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of based on that. So it's, I don't know. For some reason, I like it. I think it looks fun, you know, and especially like the ability to just fly and stuff too is totally.
Well, I'm not criticizing any of the powers, the ride or anything. I just don't like the actual designs of the spandex. That's the only thing I don't like. Is that it doesn't it looks really dated in the show.
I don't know. I guess I just think the Zoo Ranger, you know, I look at like how what follows. Well,
you know, I don't like the Zoo Ranger suits either with their court jester appeal, but you know, even Sun Vulcan looks more modern than Jetman.
Yeah.
My main problem with Jetman is that Toei was too lazy to rescan the thing.
Well, there's
yes, of course, Fort Max's observation comes back down to video encoding.
That's the most important thing.
Who cares? I'm the one who encoded the thing.
Wear that bunny hat proudly, Fort Max.
Like, it doesn't matter what.
Yeah, Rich, what does that mean?
Show.
What is a bunny hat?
Just a sec. I'm sure it feeds on sour cream.
Fort Max's sour cream? Are you sure you want to get into that, Paladin?
Well, I never want to get into the sour cream, but hey, it's here.
And if it's here, you might as well partake.
Where did this... What?
Okay. This is terrifying.
Exactly.
Although, you have to admit, it does not look out of place on Kogami.
So, that's Eiji and Ankh, right?
You have Eiji? Yes. It's pretty much the entire cast of O's.
Wow. And what... Is the why?
You may ask that question a lot about those. Okay.
Why does this exist? What is?
It's a bunny hat.
Well, certainly it is, but why was it done?
Because they could apparently.
I think Dante pretty much was getting pictures with all the cast members up, would bring it to shooting, and he'd take pictures of various cast wearing it, and it actually shows up in the last episode.
So
he calls it Sebastian.
That's horrifying. But,
wow.
No, I don't want this hat to have a name. And why is Dante's abs not showing in his photo?
The hat hides them.
This is most upsetting. And this so is just going to ruin my whole evening, more so than the podcast already has.
So this is where you derived the bunny hat name, Fort Max?
Yes, there is someone on IRC that wouldn't shut up about how cute it was.
Oh, God.
And so you just had to go and take the name and ruin it for them forever?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, IRC still exists?
Yeah.
What is this, the 90s?
Well, in some people's minds, yes.
Should I start carrying a pager?
Oh, Oh, pagers.
Those were a thing.
How did that ever seem like a good idea?
Because you had nothing else.
Yeah. Just like asbestos.
Yeah.
That sure was a new miracle fiber, wasn't it?
It was a fiber. It was a miracle more people didn't die.
Just like the ramen.
That's right.
Or this show.
The rape tentacles. So many rape tentacles. I just couldn't. There were so many rape tentacles and so many people punched in the nuts.
Well, that's because the ramen cup monster came from a completely failed colony.
Ah.
Rape tentacle gangs.
Tentacle rape gangs? Was it gangs of tentacles raping? Or was it raping gangs of tentacles?
It certainly was.
Yes. That was the style at the time.
What did we know about
they had onions on their belts.
It was like
so what are we watching next week?
I don't know. Probably two episodes of Forte.
Yeah.
Let's watch Bioman.
Well, did they have anything besides the first episode sub? We kind of already did that.
Does it matter?
But go on, Pearson.
I bet we watch Bioman every episode.
What did you have to say, JD?
Well, what about, like, Go On, Drew? Because everybody told me to watch Go On, Drew, so.
Sure.
What would be a good episode of Go On, Drew, to watch, Mickey?
Preferably something early.
So,
but
okay,
those don't have to go on wings.
So, Mickey, pick something from episode, like, 45 or so.
Thanks.
The episode I'm thinking of, the episode where Go On Green goes to the spa out in the woods. I don't know which number that is, though.
I don't either. Let's look that up.
It's like 10 or 11, I think.
We can do that quickly.
That's doable. Especially if I don't end up going to work tomorrow.
Which is entirely possible since you have no car.
Well, it's that's not the problem. The problem is more so that I was in a wreck today, and my body is probably going to feel awful tomorrow.
But mostly just that you don't have a car.
Well, I can get to work. I got a buddy of mine that said he'd pick me up, but I just have to obey the rules of the road, but
like not run into people.
No, I was thinking from Jay and Silent Bob's.
The Hot Spring Illusion episode, that's 14.
Yeah, I could probably do that.
Is that the one you were talking about?
Maybe? Yes. The Hot Spring Bunky.
I could probably do that.
So it's green and an episode with illusions. I'm going to guess there's cross.
And an episode with a lot of Kegelacia.
Yep. Wonderful, sexy Kegelacia. Her name has leg in it.
What?
Her name has leg in the middle of it.
And who doesn't like to have a little leg in the middle?
What?
Ellen, her actress, Ellen JD, I don't know if you know this, but her actress was in porn.
Oh, well, that's even better.
Look, whatever. All I know is there's a keg in her name.
That's, what's a more important, keg or leg?
It's so hard to choose.
I can't decide.
Where is there leg in her name?
Well, if you take the Kegaresia and make the R into an L, you get Kega leg.
Which they do anyway, because Japan.
Yeah.
What?
Look, just go along with it. It's a joke.
It's a good joke. Just keep it.
Somehow it's Ken's fault.
Now I'm going to blame Fort Max.
Okay, they both work. Sort of.
Well, blaming Fort Max is more, you know, classic superhero time.
Well, then we have to kick JD off the podcast, Big Classic Superhero Time.
Yeah, and that's no fun for me.
It's not fun for us either.
Yeah. I do bring a certain sour cream essence to the podcast. Even though Giga Beetle thinks I ruined the show.
Well, see, we should.
How do you ruin something that's already terrible?
I thought Giga Beetle and I were really close, too. And then he said that.
Well, see, we should have Giga Beetle come on the show and you and him can fight it out live.
I don't want to fight. I really want to like.
You're a lover, not a fighter.
That's right. I think we should hug it out.
Well, you know, it'll be that 80s sitcom thing where you fight until you start making out.
Yes.
And then from then on, you're a couple.
Right. He will never come on the show now.
Yes, let's keep shipping superhero time people with random people on Twitter. Let's see, XV, you'll be with Ankh Chalice.
The sad thing is, Mickey, you're not the first person to suggest that.
Was Ankh Chalice the first?
No.
Was it you?
Was it you?
Well, no, because that wouldn't benefit me.
Oh.
Well, actually, it depends.
Okay, yeah.
How much would it creep out on Charles?
Right, it could potentially benefit me, but no, that was not my doing.
Oh, man.
Of course, I liked what I did the other day with telling him that opinions are like quantum physics.
Yes, that was great.
That the more he tried to observe it, the more incorrect he was about whatever it would be. Smart jokes. Okay, so next week we're doing, what was it, episode 14?
Yeah, go on your 14.
Grand Prix 14.
Yay. Excuse to watch more episodes.
Well, see, somebody scrubbed Goandra at least up to that point, right?
They actually finished it.
Okay.
Are there soft subs of that?
Yes.
Well, that's what we're talking
Where
about.
Where at? Who's got it? Because I only have hard subs of it.
Let me see. I can probably... Fort Max will probably get it first, but...
Why would it matter?
Because I have really crap resolution soft subs, and I'd prefer to have some... If they're possible, get high resolution hard subs or soft. Anyway, other way around. Whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I have no idea what quality these are at.
DVD encodes.
Well, that'll do you.
That's going to be better than the hard subs that I have then, I think.
Which would probably be TV rips.
Well, because I have. Yeah, what I don't know. I guess I have the Nihon hard
sub.
Yeah,
they're TV rips run through Nihon encoding.
Oh.
like 6 or 7 times.
Okay, so it looks kind of crap. So this is going to look good then, right?
Because I don't know. I don't remember if you were here for that conversation, JD. But what it is TV Nihon, like hard subs, their stuff at every stage of the process.
Oh God.
Yeah, I'm. So what they'll do, what they send out to the editors, is a hard subbed file. Because they don't want people stealing their scripts of stuff that other people have already subbed.
And, you know, stealing their scripts that most people don't want anyway.
What? That...
Oh, while we're on the subject, Fort Max, do you still have the Christmas Kaku Ranger episode files?
Yes.
Can you re-upload those somewhere?
Yeah.
Since, you know, multi-upload is no more?
Yeah.
I meant to ask about that weeks ago and completely forgot. Also, Fort Max, use your awesome, video encoder influence to get somebody to start subbing Kaku Ranger regularly.
I'll yell at Kira again.
Yeah, speaking of which, we were wondering if, like, the reason why guys in Spandex are doing Bioman is because maybe you influenced them to do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
It really is. He's just saying no. So
is it okay to think that, though?
No.
No.
It's more of a case of Sheer likes it and also has pretty much ready-made timings already from the French DVDs.
Damn those French. Wait, how does that work?
Well, they got the show... they got Sentai and... They got a lot of Sentai and also Gavin dubbed there back in the day, and some of the series have been released subtitled over there.
So how does that get them the timing?
It's subbed.
Okay.
So somebody fan subbed is what you're saying in
no,
French.
No, the DVD. No, they're actual licensed DVDs.
So how does that get you the timing?
You can rip the subs. It's the DVDs usually aren't going to be hard subbed.
Oh, so you can rip the subs and they're time coded.
Yes.
Handy.
It's frightening. That's what it is.
It's Goandra.
Wow.
Hira Mechamedi's sister?
Yes. She was great.
Sister is in quotation marks, I assume?
No. No quotes.
That's obviously a lady. Says so right there.
She's a lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I mean, look at the lipstick and the pink hair and the boa. How could you confuse that for not being a lady?
Dude looks like a lady.
What?
I think you mean lady looks like a dude.
Man, yeah. I really need to watch Goandra.
Goandra's great.
It is. I need to, watch it all the time.
Yeah, I want to rewatch Geki Ranger again.
I didn't like Geki Ranger that much.
I liked Geki Ranger.
It had its moments, but I'm not really in any hurry to see any more of it.
The problem with Geki Ranger was odd pacing.
a while since I've watched Geki Ranger anyway.
That took too long to introduce 4 and 5. And once introduced
and
4, it's like you sneeze and then there's 5 now. Ignore 4.
And more than ever, Geki Ranger proves that the female doesn't f***ing matter.
Well, that's always true when it comes to the toys.
Well, she mattered more than Blue did.
There was a Blue?
Well, that one episode where he punched bitches while he was drunk.
That was a joke.
Oh. Yeah. But other than that, no. There was not a Blue.
And, you know, we did the Retsu gets drunk and punches bitches for
a... That was a great one.
It was. It was pretty fun. Because the elephant got drunk. How many Sentai can you say that about? The elephant got drunk.
Not many.
Not enough. That's the answer.
Yes.
You should do the Dekaranger drinking episode at one point.
What episode was that?
18 or 19 so. I just not remember it has Umeko mastering Drunken Monkey style.
Drunken Monkey style. That, okay.
It's pretty much what it sounds like.
We should do a month-long series of episodes where the characters get drunk from various...
I don't know if my liver can take that.
We should do that in October, like an Oktoberfest sort of thing.
Yes.
I'm sold.
Although, we need to say the last week of October for that episode of Sun Vulcan with the creepy Ju-on ghosts.
Let's see.
There's drinking in that, right?
Sure.
The 31st,
we could do Shinkendra sometime because Master Zandra drinks sake.
That's stretching.
Now there is one episode of Die Ranger where the entire plot is the monster of the week getting everyone drunk.
That could work.
Was that the one episode of Die Ranger where yellow was relevant?
Yeah.
This is sounding great.
So
this is a great idea.
One Ranger relevant?
Okay,
Die Ranger.
And see, October will work too because there's 5 Tuesdays, so we can do the first 4 as the Oktoberfest thing, and then the last one, the day before Halloween, would be Mickey's Sun Vulcan episode.
Sweet.
Excellent.
This is perfect.
Okay. Now, somebody actually remember this.
Oh, I'm going to remember this.
So that we'll do it, because, you know, after I finish editing the show, I am not going to remember at all.
Oh, I'm totally remembering this. This is a great idea.
Yeah, this is good. This is gold right here.
An event month on superhero time?
It's not unprecedented.
It just requires us to give it shit. Which apparently nowadays just requires drinking.
As long as it's a subject we enjoy.
Okay, so...
Punching and drinking. These are the two things that will bring forethought to the show.
Liquor and punching women in the uterus.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got the Dekaranger and the Die Ranger episode for that. We've already done the Geki Ranger drinking episode. We'll need to come up with 2 more.
I'd say pencil in Shinkendra until we come up with something better.
And, well, there is that Akiba Ranger episode.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, totally do that.
So then we just need one more.
Well, there's got to be a Go-Andre episode where the villains get drunk.
Isn't that every episode?
Well, man, wasn't the episode where they got, like, really drunk where they actually used, like, the whole red face makeup on them?
Was there?
I seem to remember one, but...
Well, if you can find it, we'll put it in. I don't recall that, but it's been a while. Anyway, we got some time to figure out the whole out here. We got some time to get loaded, don't worry.
Yeah.
There's All always right. time for booze.
Booze up for Buster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Okay, so that'll be our show for this week.
Hooray!
Yay.
Yeah.
Another one down the drain.
Yes, even with almost no
with
news.
With the booze.
Even with almost no news, only one weekly and a short episode of Jetman, we still came out at 2 hours.
We are nothing if not consistent.
That's right.
Yes.
Just like my poop.
Well, that's a good thing. Don't knock that. You're going to want that as you get older.
Yeah, for sure.
The knocking poop happens quite frequently.
I mean, look at it this way. You could be like Ken with his whatever irritable bowel thing going on there.
I think he has SIDS.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's not so sudden.
He's got
old Dr. Katz jokes.
He's got a really slow acting case of SIDS. Yeah. Well, there's really nowhere to go from that, so thanks for listening.
Yep.
We're ending on a dead baby's joke.
Because, yeah.
That's superhero time.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at superhero_time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
Can anybody see this? Because this is like slow.
What is it?
This go-onger.
I seeded your mom. She died.
Well, maybe Fort Max can help you out. I don't have that.
Yeah, give me a little bit to get stuff moved over off the main drive.
Okay.
You have multiple drives? That's amazing.
Because I'm only getting like 300K here, and I really need
that
like
all?
You then.
I would really prefer like a meg. Like that usually goes a lot faster.
Super Hero Time. 次回もお楽しみに。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.